This morning we want to continue our study of God's Word where we left off last Sunday morning. We've been studying about the commandments of God. We studied about the two great commandments in the law that Jesus identified for us to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love one another as ourselves, and all the others hang upon those the Lord taught. Then we also were looking at his teachings, or beginning to last week, that there are weightier matters of the law. So all of the matters and the commandments that God gives to us are not all the same in weight in his sight. And we looked at Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, and we might as well go back there because we saw part of this and want to look at the rest as it pertains to these verses. First of all, Matthew 23:23, where Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So Jesus plainly said that there were weightier matters in the law. The tithing under the old covenant was not one of those weightier matters. Those scribes and Pharisees were obeying the commandment for their tithes. Jesus acknowledged that. He did not say that they should not have been doing that in order to fulfill the weightier matters of the law. He did say that they should not have They ought to have done what they were doing, but not to leave the other undone. And what were they leaving undone? What were they leaving out? And what had they omitted? He said the weightier matters of the law. And then he mentioned judgment, mercy, and faith. And last week we looked at judgment and mercy. And obviously we did not cover in one lesson all that God's Word teaches us about on those subjects of judgment and mercy. We looked at a portion of a little bit of what God teaches about that, how important that was and what God taught for under the Old Testament, but also and most especially under the law of Christ, and how that we must judge righteous judgment. And on the subject of mercy, what God requires, and we looked at his teachings there about mercy and the importance of mercy, which they had left out. Matthew 23:23 also mentions faith, which we did not get to. That's where we want to start this morning. But we also want to look at another one of those weightier matters of the law that he mentions in this same context of Matthew 23:23 in the Gospel of Luke chapter 11 and verse 42. Where he said, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and ruin all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So he mentions judgment again, but where Matthew 23:23, he mentioned mercy and faith, here he mentions the love of God. So let's put all that together. Judgment, mercy, faith, the love of God. Those are all identified by Christ as being weightier matters of the law. And as we know, that certainly is going to tie into those two great commandments of the law, and all the others hang upon those. But how much of those that hang upon the first two pertain to those weightier matters of the law that pertain to judgment or mercy, faith, and the love of God? We asked the question last week, which really is one that doesn't need an actual answer. It's very evident. But if you've omitted that, I mean, what does your religion consist of if you've left out judgment, mercy, faith, and the love of God? And there's just a very small shell of a religion as far as anything that pertains to God. Now, they had all of their own commandments and doctrines and traditions that they were following, but in terms of following God, I mean, they've left out just about everything, which we need to be very careful that we're not leaving any of that out, because these are the things that God says are the weightier matters, and we cannot leave those to be undone. Obviously, as far as even what he would refers to as the lesser or even the least of the commandments. There are some, but we can't leave those undone either. We ought to do those. We must do those. We must obey all of God's commandments. But we cannot omit these weightier matters. So we need to recognize what are the great commandments, the weightier matters, and understand and follow those things. So let's look at faith and the love of God. We have about 15 minutes to delve into faith and the love of God. You will notice that I'm not even attempting to suggest we're going to do more than just hitting some of the highlights as it pertains to these topics. We could have, if you will, if we really wanted to delve into all that God's Word teaches about faith and the love of God, talk about a series. Either of those. I mean, we could spend weeks. And I think you know I'm not joking on that. We could spend weeks on either or both of those topics. Maybe that's a good thing to do sometime. But we're doing that really in all the lessons that we study, because we're seeing those points come up over and over again, being the weightier matters that they are. So how often are we studying about faith and the love of God or judgment and mercy, even if that's not the title of the lesson? I mean, we're going to see those things come up over and over again because of how important, how weighty they are. So concerning faith, now the context, of course, Jesus is showing what was in God's word, what he taught his people, these ones who were living under the law of Moses, but what God taught in the Old Testament. And did God teach anything about faith in the Old Testament? We're not talking about necessarily the law proper, the law of Moses specifically, but in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and this is what the Lord spoke through his prophet Habakkuk, this is a principle that God has operated by from the beginning, since he made man on the earth. This is a requirement that God has had of man since he put man on the earth, made him in his image. And that was before there ever was a law of Moses. That was still true while there was a law of Moses in effect, and it is still true today while we're under the law of Christ. But Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, he said, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The righteous will live by his faith. That's in contrast to those ones that he was pointing out who were not upright. The righteous will live by his faith. The righteous live by faith. Now, that didn't just start at Moses, as we know. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we find quotation of that particular verse of Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Where he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So he quotes Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Now he's applying what God spoke through Habakkuk the prophet to which covenant? To the gospel of Christ, the new covenant here. Though it was spoken by Habakkuk, who was under the old covenant, yes, that's an Old Testament book, but the principle was not one that started with the old covenant. It was not one that ended with it. The righteous will live by faith. That is a principle that God has had in effect for man always and still does, especially under the law of Christ, wherein his righteousness is revealed. But we have to live by faith. That is something God requires of man, always has, and always will. That same verse in Habakkuk 2, 4 is quoted in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. And we want to look at starting at verse 38. And actually, we want to read from verse 38 in chapter 10 of Hebrews down through verse 6 of chapter 11. Will say much about the subject of faith and its importance and how weighty it is. Hebrews 10, verse 38, he says, "Now the just shall live by faith." So there he's quoting Habakkuk 2 verse 4 again, that same statement. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, what does it mean to draw back? That's those who draw back from, who no longer are following God and his commandments. Those who are quitting that. He says, now, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So if we have faith, but then we lose that faith and we no longer do God's will, is God going to have pleasure in us because at one point in our lives in the past we had some faith? He will not have pleasure in us if we draw back, if we quit. He says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. And that's what will happen if we turn away from the Lord. If we go back into the world, we're going to go unto perdition. But he says, we're not of them who do that. Well, we better not be. So verse 39 says, but of them, who are we of, or who should we be? But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Can our souls be saved without faith? The just shall live by faith, but that faith we have to continue in, and we must believe to the saving of the soul. So there's obviously much more to faith than just that initial believing that we have, or believing in our minds, or even starting out in belief and continuing for a time. It's going to have to be something that we have and that we grow in and that we never depart from. And that also contains the works of obedience. That is what a living faith is about. So then he continues on to verse 11, or chapter 11. This faith that we must have to the saving of our souls. Without faith, we can't be saved. So what if we omit that? There's no salvation. If our religion is lacking in faith, obviously we're not going to be saved. The just will live by faith. Chapter 11, Hebrews 11, verse 1, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So that principle, the righteous will live by faith, where does he begin with that as far as examples are concerned? He doesn't start with Moses. Now, he includes Moses in this passage in Hebrews 11, but he starts here with Abel. I mean, this goes all the way back. By faith, so was Abel righteous and did he live by faith? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Well, the righteous live by faith. By faith, Abel obeyed God with his sacrifice and obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And what do we know of the description there in the book of Genesis about Enoch? How did he please God? He walked with God. Which means he walked by what? He walked by faith. So that was Enoch. And so he then says in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So that's how Enoch pleased God, by his faith, living by his faith. And without faith, could Enoch have pleased God? No. Could anyone? No. He says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, so can we even come to him without this faith? He that cometh to God must believe. It's a must. He must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what do we have to believe? Well, we have to believe in God. He is. We have to believe that. We also have to believe in all that he does, in his works. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So then we have to diligently seek him. So this faith he's speaking of is not just believing in certain facts about God, but it's that will be demonstrated by what we live, how we live. We will live by faith. We will walk by it, and we're going to diligently seek him And he's going to reward us for that. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, 2 Corinthians 1, 24, he says, "Not for that we have a dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." I mean, we live by it, we stand by it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, he says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So Enoch, he had faith, by faith Enoch, he lived how he lived. And he walked with God. Well, he did so by faith. He walked by faith, which we must have all of us to please him. So we live by it. We stand by it. We walk by it. We're saved by it. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And then James 2:18-24, very clearly teaches us, for our faith to be a living faith that avails, that will save us, it can't be something that we only believe in our minds, that is not carried through by our works and obedience to his commandments. A living faith is a faith that will obey God's commandments. James 2:18-24, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So do the devils know? Do they believe that God is? I mean, they know that. They know Jesus is God's son. They've even confessed it. But they're not going to be saved because they're not obeying him. So they know these facts about him, but they're not serving him. They're not doing his will. So the devils aren't going to be saved. And if that's all the faith we have, we're just like them. So he says, "But wilt thou know, or thou believest there is one God, there is one that thou doest well, thy devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest that how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." So our faith has to be made complete by our works in order for us to be saved. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." See, the righteous, the just live by faith. And that's the kind of faith they live by, this living faith that obeys God. He says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." So that the Lord teaches us we have to have that faith and live by it. And walk by it and stand by it. We'll be saved by it if it's a living faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. So here's the foundation of everything else we grow in. This is how this is one of the weightier matters of the law. On the commandment to love God and to love one another as it's taught by the Lord, and all the other commandments hang upon those. We see how weighty, how important faith is as our foundation for all that we're to grow in. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5-10, he says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." That's love, the Greek word agape there. Well, are we going to be able to grow and build and have love without all that he describes there that has to be built under it as a foundation? And what does it all start with? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to first hear what God says, and then we have to believe that, then we have to do it. So all the things that we have to grow in, it's going to begin by us hearing God's word about all those things that we have to believe and then put into practice by obeying his commandments. If we don't have faith, what are we going to build it? What are we going to build anything on? If we don't hear God's word, or we don't believe what we hear in God's word, what are we going to build? As far as anything good, there won't be anything to build. So we have to start with our faith. He says, add to your faith virtue, and then from there, all those other things. And concluding there with love. And he says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." And we can see in all of this, as God is showing us the kind of faith that we have to have so that we can believe to the saving of our souls. These things, he says, if we give diligence to build on our faith, all of these things, and give diligence to make our calling and election sure, that's how it's going to happen. And then he says, we will never fall if we do that. It's impossible to please God without faith. But with faith, the kind of faith that he teaches us about in these passages that we've looked at in this brief amount of time that we've had together to study it this morning, what do we see from that? What are we able to build on that? And what is that able to do for our souls if we have that kind of faith? He says, then we will never fall. So that is one of the weightier matters of God's word and his teachings for us. We cannot be saved or live without that. And we've already seen how many in several of these passages, we saw the word love come up a number of times there. And how do we, ultimately, how do we really separate that faith that we must have and then building up to that love that's to be there? We have the foundation, but we have to have the rest of the building, and they are absolutely linked together. So the love of God is another of those weightier matters that we can't wrap up in 2 minutes, so we'll have to put that off for our next time, Lord willing. But we do want to take this opportunity now to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that is here that has not yet become a child of God. Do you have faith in him? Do you believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Are you ready to become one who is diligently seeking him by seeking to follow his son, Jesus Christ? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and all that he teaches us in his word that his son is, and you're ready to repent and follow him, we're encouraging you this morning to obey his commandment to repent and be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins. Or if you're a member of the Lord's body, if you need to return to him, if you're in danger of being one of those ones who draw back unto perdition, we're encouraging you to come back to him and follow him and live by that faith that will save your soul. So if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning for any of those reasons, and we're encouraging you to do so now while we stand together and sing.